Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Well, before we start, the Melbourne Comedy Festival has been cancelled. Lewis actually predicted this the day before they actually cancelled it on our last week's show. I've actually got a clip of you, Lewis, predicting this. Here it is. Now, before we start, letting people know that our Melbourne Comedy Festival show tickets are on sale. And this stage, the Melbourne Comedy Festival is still going.
Yeah, I mean, what day is it? It's currently Thursday evening. I would say we have about 12 hours left for you to purchase tickets, feel good about them, and then feel the need to return them when the corona quits.
Bang! So predicted! Predicted, Lewis Hulman. What do you think about that?
I mean, obviously, I'm a genius. I see everything. It's Powerball tonight. It's Thursday again. $60 million. It's going to be number 37. Put all your money on 37.
Now, if you get a refund, I should let you know, become one of our subscribers on Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can support Irrational Fear to bring you podcasts and videos. This week, we actually doubled our Patreon subscriber limit to 11. And a big shout out to someone named Margot Hobber, who is now donating $10 a month. Any relation, Lewis, Margot Hobber?
Yeah, that's my mum. Shout out to mum. She's been financially helping me out since day dot, and so it's still good to know that she hasn't let up. Thank you, Mum. And also, for every Patreon subscriber who wins Powerball, my number 30, I will expect at least 50% of that to go to Irrational Fear's Patreon.
Thank you very much, Lewis. It's very generous of you. Irrational Fear is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. I pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, Fair Dumb, and Section 40. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Today on Irrational Fear, Qantas is reportedly seeking a government bailout. When asked what they did with their recent $5 billion profit, a spokesman suggested it was stuck down the back of the Qantas lounge. And the NRL is seeking a bailout from the government, claiming that Australia won't be Australia without rugby league, which is news to people in Western Australia, South Australia, Victoria, Northern Territory and Tasmania, who all said, "Who is rugby league?" And Tasmania has shut its border to mainland Australia. On top of a 14-day quarantine, people will be deported from the island if they don't test positive to being a close cousin. There's plenty of toilet paper for everyone. This is Irrational Fear!
Irrational Fear!
Welcome to Irrational Fear. Now, let's meet our fearmongers tonight. Billed as one of Australia's premier transgender lesbian comedians, maybe, it's Rose Piper. Hello, Rose.
Hello.
In 2019, he was the winner of Australia's most prestigious science prize. In 2020, he's shutting down his lab because, as it turns out, being good at important work is not valued in Australia. It's Dr. Darren Saunders.
G'day, how are you?
Oh, well, look, I'm fine. And as someone who is pretty good for the apocalypse, and as someone who has to live with the uncertainty every day in the cutthroat, chaotic world of youth public broadcasting, it's Lewis Hobber.
Hello, Dan. Yes, a joy to be here, not broadcasting. I can't hear anything. It's actually, can I say, my since the virus hit and everyone's been working from home, this current setup of a million people speaking from different places has become the norm, and I feel like I'm just back at high school watching my substitute teacher struggle with the DVD player again.
And on the pots and pans, it's DJ Diabolical.
Now I've always stood up the back and been the silent DJ and the hobo Paul Schaefer, and it took a global pandemic to get me on the mic. You will probably regret it. Thank you, Dan.
A little later on the show, broadcaster Alan Jones shares his view on coronavirus. Comedian Bec Melrose will be popping by to do 5 minutes of her cancelled Melbourne Comedy Festival show, and Diabolical will deliver us fresh new newsfighters. But first, we couldn't do this show without our sponsors. Here's our first sponsor for tonight.
Hi. I'm unindicted war criminal and foppish former Prime Minister Tony Blair. And, I mean, look, these are uncertain times, right? Like, 2020 has brought us coronavirus, the climate crisis, and married at first sight. And since international travel has been banned, I'm inviting you to take a break and book a journey to somewhere where nothing interesting happens. The 90s. I mean, look, you could learn to surf the web with Morgan Freeman.
Click on Netscape Navigator and type in www.altavista.com. Then search for the answer to anything you want, like why can't Kevin Costner do an English accent?
Or go on a tour of the White House with my good colleague Bill Clinton.
And in this drawer is where I put all the things I want to disappear, like cigars, used tissues, and genocide in Rwanda. I've never even heard of that place.
Sir, Mr. Epstein's on the phone.
Oh, excuse me. Jeffrey, hi. Of course, Saturday's great for me.
Or you could even visit the set of a television commercial with Donald Trump.
I don't even drink vodka. They want me to sell it because I can sell it. Vodka, it's fantastic, believe me. What? Oh, hang on a second. Hello? Hello, Jeffrey. Jeffrey Epstein, my friend, is a billionaire just like me. It's what we have in common. Saturday, I'll be there, of course.
So, look, book a ticket to the 90s when the war on terror was just a sparkle in my eye. What, has it finished yet? This month? Oh, good. Who won? Actually, don't tell me. I'll watch it on DVR. So, pimp your ride to the 90s, right? A time where, if you wanted to enjoy an apocalypse, you had to go to the cinema. Cowabunga, dudes.
Well, thank you. This is Irrational Fear. We're into the third week of coronavirus. Last week on Insiders, Peter Van Onselen tweeted that when the CMO entered the studio, he offered to shake everyone's hand. Later that afternoon, the Prime Minister suggested that everyone stop shaking hands, which came as a huge release to everyone who is forced to meet the Prime Minister. And Colbert did a monologue this week from his bath. The NBC Today Show, Al Roker, the weatherman, did the weather from his kitchen. TV shows are doing shows without audiences, which is nothing new. We did it tonightly all the time. The difference is popular shows are asking their audiences to stay at home, and people in the Netherlands are panic buying weed. So, my friends, how is the apocalypse treating you so far?
I think people would probably expect it to be worse than it is, right? But I've been doing some thinking because a lot of people think that like comedy is in like a bit of crisis at the moment, right? Like the comedy festival's being cancelled and everything, and that's obviously, you know, a bad thing. But I think like it's actually going to sort of, in at least when like everything kind of blows over in the end, it's actually going to set the comedy community up quite well. And I've been talking to a lot of comedians and whatnot, and I've just got like a sort of like a list of things here that I'd like love to go through to sort of like tell everyone.
Sure.
Like, what sort of good stuff we've got to look forward to, right? So like at least while we're all like self-isolating, socially distancing and whatnot right now, is everybody is being pushed to like the podcasting world, right?
Unfortunately, yeah, this is how we're doing. We're unfortunately having to make a podcast over Google Hangouts. It's very shoddy.
Yeah, well, I think there's going to be a lot more of that, right? And like obviously like that's a great thing because all we want is a lot more straight white men telling us which movies we need to watch, right? So I've talked to like a few people who've got some like podcasts in the works, and I just wanted to go through some of them right now. So I've heard there's one coming up which is called Mighty Morphin Power Recap, right? Which is it's two middle-aged white men just sort of watching Mighty Morphin Power Rangers episode by episode and going through that. And I can only imagine that that is going to be some truly interesting content. Another one that has come through at my friend's podcasting studio is it's called "What the Fuck Are You Looking At?" Again, middle-aged males come on there and discuss all the best fights that they've gotten into over their lifetime. So that's a pretty good one. There's also one called "We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All." Which is it's two white males and a trans woman who watch sort of that American Pie style teen sex comedies every week and discuss those. And I know you're thinking that doesn't sound like it has any legs at all. It couldn't even have 100 episodes. It didn't celebrate that today. Please listen. Please listen.
is this your podcast, Rose?
Oh no, it's certainly not mine. No, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any involvement in that podcast at all. Please listen. We really need it. Please listen.
There's certainly going to be a lot of time for binge watching, so I see those podcasts going well. I'm just not sure about the restaurant review and travel podcasts. How they're going to go moving.
I mean,
forward.
That's certainly going to suffer.
Yeah.
I think what it's going to come down to is a lot of kind of reminiscing style ones. Another one that I've heard of, sort of in the vein of guys we fucked, is chicks we've rooted. So I'm sure there'll be quite a lot of tasteful material covered in that podcast.
Yeah, or remember what toilet paper was, or what was food.
Yeah, that was actually quite a good thing that happened to us today. We had a housemate move out today and left behind all her who gives a crap toilet paper. So we are set.
Oh my god, that is my leaving behind gold.
Yeah, yes. I was surprised.
Except you can wipe your bum with it.
Wow. Hey, you can wipe your bum with gold if you try hard enough.
Yeah, it'll probably get to that point.
I think it's a rough endorsement if someone facing a period of potential quarantine with housemates is moving out right now. Like, basically they are saying, I don't want to spend 2 weeks with you specifically.
Yes. No thanks.
Well, it's not even 2 weeks. It's like people are really have to be bunkering down for a few months. So people, it's like saying the next 5 months are going to be awful in this house if I don't move. It's going to be a real test, particularly if you live in a share house.
I think a lot of people are talking about the rate of babies going up in 9 months after this, but I think people have got to start talking about the rate of divorces going up.
You know, statistically, divorces have gone up in China because of the all the isolation.
Well, really? Wow.
Yeah. It's already in the stats.
Yeah, that's their biggest problem, actually. Yeah.
Well, Darren, what's your that's China's biggest problem? Darren, what are you saying? What do you predict will happen in 5 months' time?
Look, I think I just want to point out that I think I was way ahead of the curve on shutting down my lab, because unless you're building COVID test kits or vaccines, everyone's shutting down their lab. So that turned out to be quite prescient, actually. I'm just getting ahead on that.
Where are we going to be in 5 months' time?
Look, I think the world's going to look really different. I hate to be really heavy about that. But I think actually, you know, to put a positive slant on it, I reckon we're going to come out the other side a much better society and a much better community. I think we're getting a really good reminder of what's actually important in life. And I think I reckon that's a good thing to hang on to as we go into pasta is definitely a good thing to hang on to. I've been eating types of pasta and rice I never even knew existed this week.
I've cooked for the first time in about 5 years for that.
Darren, it's great to have you on the podcast, because we're not experts at all, but you know, you are an expert. You are a doctor, nay, a professor. So can you tell us, I'm sure people are turning to you for all kinds of scientific advice, because your head is often on the television, your voice is often on the radio as a communicator of science. What are the kinds of questions? I thought maybe I could ask you to collect a bunch of questions that people have been asking you, and maybe you could quiz us tonight on the answers. And so we'll try and provide what the answers are, and then you can tell us whether we're right or wrong.
Oh, this is perfect. I've got more questions than I can answer, so I can feed these back to people. This will be fantastic.
Right, well, excellent.
I reckon the good one to lead off with is what's the effect of all that bushfire smoke we all breathed in for months and months and months on what's going to happen with COVID infection?
Your lungs will taste like smoked salmon.
Fewer koalas are alive to die.
That's a positive, Ben. Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if koalas can get COVID off. That's a good question.
Well, let's find out. Let's cop
well, they got COVID. Well, I gave them chlamydia.
I think an effect it will have is because we were all told that we were breathing whatever it was, like 37 darts a day or something like that. But now the economic downturn is probably going to cause some people to stop smoking. So it was like kind of getting your fix in before you quit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's not a bad way to look at it.
I actually did buy a face mask during the bushfires that has turned out to be quite handy in the long run.
Getting ahead of the curve again.
Yeah.
You're like Nostradamus.
Right. Man, I am ahead of things. People can listen to me more.
Well, what do you think, Darren? What do you think the ramifications of breathing in that bushfire smoke are?
The actual answer is we probably don't know. The guess or the hypothesis would be that we're probably a little bit more susceptible to infection. All that smoke has been damaging our lungs the whole time we've been breathing it in, and it's probably making us a little bit more susceptible to the infection. And as for how the infection will play out in people, hard to say. So it's not a good news story, that one.
There was such a weird point in kind of time where the smoke, you couldn't really avoid it anywhere. Like with the coronavirus, I feel like you can probably do, if you don't have it, you can probably do your best to not have it for a long time. But the smoke was just so unavoidable because you couldn't really escape to any place that didn't have it.
At one point I was showering in it. The water tank where I was staying actually got permeated with smoke. It was like showering in scotch. It was not pleasant as you think it might be.
Yeah, I was about to say, it sounds pretty good.
It does, doesn't it? It's not.
You could sell that at a Gwyneth Paltrow resort, showering in that smoke.
Smoked water.
Showering genuine Australian bushfire smoke. $300. Okay.
I'm just going to make a note of that. That's actually pretty good.
What's your next question, Darren?
All right, next question was what is going to happen to everyone that's swimming? Can we swim in pools? Can we swim in the ocean and avoid COVID?
I would have thought pools were a no-no, but I should think the ocean should be fine, right?
I hope the ocean is fine.
Hey, that's my thought too. My thought is that the ocean is antibacterial, maybe?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? The ocean, nobody knows. The ocean, the sunlight kills a lot of germs, but it probably won't kill the viruses. But there's
Darren,
a lot of water
Darren,
to dilute
before
it
you
in.
Go on, before you go on, are the answers to all your question is nobody knows?
There's a lot of that going on at the moment.
I'm loving it. It means that we're all getting it right, and I'm loving the point.
It's good. All right, great. What's the next question?
All right. When are we going to have a vaccine?
I got this one.
Nobody knows. Lewis, what do you think?
I would have said, nobody knows, Dan. It's one of the few things we actually don't know.
I'm gonna go confident and get out on the front foot and say within a month.
Damn.
Oh, that's a big call.
Wow.
Yeah. I was actually hoping that Lewis would say that because then it would happen.
Oh, shit. No, yeah.
Well, that's right. Lewis is Nostradamus.
I won't lower myself to that, I'm afraid.
So this one I picked deliberately because I can't actually answer this one. This is.
Oh.
So I don't know if you saw. I think it was yesterday. The very first human guinea pigs patients got the first test doses of one of the new vaccines. So
where were they? Where can we get it from?
Yeah, no,
they
were.
Will it be available
somewhere.
At Woolies?
I think Trump's bought it already. Probably that's what.
He tried to. He tried to buy one of the German companies. Yeah.
So where were they, Darren? Who got the first vaccines?
When will we find out? I believe they were in Europe. I could be wrong. I don't remember precisely. We've got a vaccine in development in Australia that's been in animals now, so it's almost ready to test in humans. And then the trick is making enough for hundreds of millions of people. That will take a few months at least.
Right. Is that when you're going to start your lab up again?
That's it. That's the plan. I'm just gearing up for that now.
Do you have another question for us about COVID-19 to smash misconceptions?
Oh, look, here's the one. Here's the question of the day or the question of the week is why haven't they shut the schools yet?
Why haven't they shut the schools yet?
That's the one that's on everyone's lips around here. Why haven't they shut the schools yet?
Because people need to know about white history and forget about colonialism. That's why they haven't shut the schools yet.
Yeah.
In this time, the white man fixes everything. That is why they haven't shut the schools yet.
There's probably too many decision makers in there who've just had their kids get to school age who have gone, no, I'm not fucking taking them back in the house now.
I feel like It is consistent with, like, this government's long-term war against teachers. Maybe they're just hoping that instead of having to underpay them, they can just kill them.
That is dark, Lewis.
You got the closer to the truth than you know.
Very dark.
Oh, yeah, I grew up in a family of teachers. I've seen governments do some crook shit to them.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? We're kind of remembering the value of all of these kind of jobs like nurses and teachers, right?
What is it, Darren? I mean, you're someone who's seen the brunt of this kind of attitude from our government, that there seems to be a dislike or a distrust of expertise of really smart people who know things. Yep. Why is it that this government does have, or this government, not in this, not it's not particularly this government, governments are all around the world, have a distaste and a distrust of people with expertise and are doing everything they can to seemingly defund them and get rid of them.
I think the brutal truth to that is because they delivered some uncomfortable facts and truths to them that didn't suit their sort of political ends, and so they undermined them as much as they could. You know, people have been profiteering politically and financially for years off undermining facts and truth.
But getting rid of the pandemic unit for the CDC in America seems like a completely counterintuitive act. Given
but Dan, they were just sitting around doing nothing.
Exactly, just wasting money.
And if we want them, we can get them back. If we want them, we know where they are, and we can get them back whenever we want.
The best people.
They're like firemen. They just sit around all day doing nothing. Get rid of them. Not most of the time.
Do you honestly think, Darren, that is the motive? Like it is purely you're delivering information that is too dangerous for us politically to even have?
Well, I think, partly. I mean, if you look at the climate change is an obvious one. You know, that's where it seemed to be the lightning rod for this sort of approach of denying truth or whatever you want to call it. And it was literally that there were some really rich people and big companies that were, you know, their profits were under threat and they've spent a lot of money trying to prop up those profits by seeding doubt. You know, we saw the tobacco companies do it before them, and then what's happened is the political parties have all figured out that that's a really good way of getting hold of power is to take that approach, you know. And I think that's fine when the threat is just as existential as the coronavirus, but it's, you know, 20 or 40 years down the road, and suddenly that model doesn't work when the threat is very real and very now.
Well, here are some good things about COVID-19. There has been a huge reduction in CO2 emissions, up to 10% in some countries. Because of the ban on cruise ships, the Venice canals have become extremely clear, and you can see to the bottom of them without pollution and sediment. And another good thing about the COVID-19 is that Eurovision has been cancelled for this year. So no Eurovision. What other good things have we seen out there because of COVID-19, do we think?
Seen a lot of videos of penguins loose in zoos looking at the fish through the walls. That was pretty good.
I think my favourite good news story was the directive from ISIS that came out through the week.
Yes, that's right.
ISIS put out a press release banning their suicide bombers from going to Europe because obviously, you know, Venice might be beautiful, but, you know, even ISIS has OH&S things to consider. So they banned their terrorists from going to Europe.
Yeah, because you don't want to, you know, blow up a building while you're feeling a bit snotty in the nose, do you?
No. Well, that's the thing. I mean, most of those are one-way tickets, surely. I don't quite know what they're saving them from.
Yeah. And Dan, I believe the mayor of Baltimore has ordered everyone to stop shooting each other, so they can create rooms in the hospitals for COVID victims. So look, I think there'll be a massive downturn in street violence until we run out of toilet paper, and then there'll be a massive upturn in street violence.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger has been making great content from his home. He's been advocating for social distancing. You may have seen earlier in the week him feeding his ponies inside his home. Here is one of him sitting in a hot tub, smoking a cigar, giving some very, very good advice.
I just finished a bike ride and a little bit of workout, and I just, you know, keep staying at home and away from the crowds and away from outside. The reason why I'm saying that is because I still see photographs and videos of people sitting in outside cafes all over the world and having a good time and hanging out in crowds. That is not wise, because that's how you can get the virus. that's how you get it, like contact with other people. So stay away from crowds, stay away from being in restaurants and outdoor cafes, especially now in springtime where all the kids are going to the beach and celebrate and drink and all that stuff. This is not a good idea. So stay away from the crowds, go home, and then we can overcome this whole problem, this whole virus, in no time. But you got to go and follow those orders. Just remember, stay at home, don't go to crowds. Put that cookie down.
I think he's being incredibly responsible. He is the most responsible boomer out there. I've been trying to tell my mum to stay away from her church and stop going to the shops, but she just ignores me. She completely says, you young people are too worried. We're at church and we're not coughing over each other. The only upside to that is I can see my inheritance will be coming a little bit earlier than I expected. But
silver linings.
Silver lining. How do we convince our parents that they should be staying home?
Tell them that there's a property that they can buy inside their already existing property. See if they can sort of negatively gear like a babushka doll internally until they own so many negatively geared properties that it just sort of folds in on itself. And then they'll never leave. They'll always be searching under their bed for that next property that we can't have.
It's a good excuse for them to be more xenophobic, because then they can blame someone for them having to be at home.
I hate to tell this story, but my mum is very quietly xenophobic. Whenever she's telling anecdotes, she will dip her voice whenever she has to name the race of the person in the anecdote. So she'll be like, and then at the shops I saw a Asian man and he just went... Well, that's nice. At least you're blunting your xenophobia.
My mum went from complete and utter coronavirus denier to full-blown prepper in 24 hours. So I had a quiet word to her yesterday.
What was the turning point? Because I'm curious, yeah, because a lot of boomers like, everything's fine, and then they turn. What was it for them?
I pointed out she was letting me down. You know, I was going on TV and radio and telling everybody all this stuff, and she was basically making me look like a fool for ignoring me. And, you know, no mum wants to embarrass their son like that. I was talking to her today, and she's gone from, you know, you need to teach the kids how to grow their own food. They need to know how to sew. She went right back to full-on, you know, 1930s self-sustaining skills.
Can she talk to my mum?
Yeah, we can swap numbers.
I think the main thing, the responsibility for all of us to do is share our Netflix password with our parents.
So... I already do.
Good.
I'm waiting for my mum to share hers with me.
I'm just trying to do as many Irrational Fear podcasts as we can, because I know as a passionate subscriber, we make a lot. My mum will just keep listening and she'll never be able to leave the house.
Thank you, Margot Hobber. Thank you very much. A little later on, comedian Beck Melrose will join us to do a tight five from her cancelled Melbourne Comedy Festival show. But I don't know if you heard this. Earlier this week, Alan Jones compared the coronavirus to climate change, claiming it was a hoax. He went on air yesterday and clarified a few things.
Good morning, everyone. A lot of people have suggested to me that I'm not taking coronavirus seriously enough by comparing it to the hoax of climate change. Oh, God. Well, let me tell you, COVID-19, as they're calling it. Who named that? Some sort of scientist or something. Oh, God, nerds. COVID-19 is a hoax. Much like carbon dioxide, I haven't seen it with my own eyes, so it doesn't exist. And my eyesight is very good. Like, posted on the door on the other side of my Southern Highlands studio, where I'm broadcasting from for the next 6 months for no reason in particular, I can read a sign that says, "Warning, stay 1.5 metres away from this door." Nothing to do with coronavirus. I've just got to keep the home studio sounding crystal clear. Don't want some sort of goose coming in here squawking at me. And I'm not talking about Anthony Albanese. God. Now, my good friend Scott Morrison has just told me you must stop panic buying. It's clearly un-Australian. Well, let me tell you something. He got something wrong there. The only thing you should be panic buying is my new album, Alan Jones's Songs for a Life of Isolation. Oh, it's got me, Alan Jones, singing all of your favourites like... All by myself, don't wanna be... All by myself. Give us a call on the open line number. Oh, wonderful. And don't forget that classic. Don't stand so, don't stand so, don't stand so close to me. And how about a cheeky duet? You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all throughout the night. Take it away, Anthony Kalia. Oh, God, what a voice. Wait till you hear him sing. Oh. What a voice. Oh, we had to do it on Skype, but still, you get the idea. So don't believe what you read. There is no coronavirus. If you can't see it, it doesn't exist. A bit like the Bledisloe Cup. I've never seen it, so we've never lost it. I'm Alan Jones.
Alan Jones there.
That's great. I haven't been travelling for work for a few weeks, but I feel like I just had a nice taxi ride to the airport. That was fantastic.
Irrational fear.
And I haven't touched my face in weeks. In weeks.
Since the Melbourne International Comedy Festival has been cancelled, I thought, wouldn't it be great to get some of our comedy friends of the show to come and do their best tight five from their cancelled shows that they can't perform in Melbourne? And coronavirus has really knocked that right out of the park. Now we have to do it on Google Hangouts. But we're going to try it anyway. I thought we'd get Beck Melrose to give it a go. Since she's going to be on the show on Irrational Fear next week, I thought, what better way to get her to come on the show but do a bit of a warm-up by doing her best tight five from her cancelled Melbourne Comedy Festival show. So, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, Beck Melrose.
Hello, legends. How we doing?
Yeah, well,
good.
Well.
Good.
Same. I miss crowd work.
Quick, ask me what I do for a living.
I thought I'd do a type five of my office gear because I thought I wrote that thinking it'd be evergreen and I'd be able to use it forever, but we don't have offices anymore, so thought I might as well give it a run. Who's come straight from work? Give us a woo.
Woo!
Yep. Woo-hoo-hoo. Nah, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Work's fucked, isn't it? I've just started working in an office, so my zest for life is draining faster than the Murray Darling, I can assure you. No one's talking to one another like human beings in the office. There's all this jargon and buzzwords and shit that get in the way. My favourite one they use at my work is as per my last email. Have we heard this? Yeah. What a power move. As per my last email. It's the closest you can get to saying fuck off your grub at work, isn't it? I haven't used as per my last email. I haven't got the confidence to use as per my last email. I am like 50 Brené Brown TED Talks short of the confidence it takes to use as per my last email. But there's so much of this bizarre language at work. I kept hearing my boss say, oh, why don't you give that project to Beck? She's got capacity. Go on, flick that one over to Beck. She's got capacity. Pass that over to Beck. She's got capacity. I'm not a fucking Tupperware container. Absolutely ridiculous. And everyone at work's worried about AI taking their jobs, robots taking our jobs. I'm not that worried yet. I've seen the test online to prove you're not a robot. I reckon if they can't check a box or pick out a bridge in a lineup, I don't reckon they'll be coming for our jobs anytime soon. But even when they do, like, take my job. I don't give a shit. Let's see you try and machine learn your way through the social obstacle course of Linda's passive-aggressive kitchen signs. We dead set in my office had a sign above another sign that said, read the sign. Never mind a robot, that shit would short-circuit a Roomba. We are decades away from developing the kind of technology that's going to be able to deftly navigate pretending to give a fuck about Neil's weekend. No. But we keep hearing the same argument about AI, don't we? That it's going to save us so much time. So what? We're just going to find more bullshit to fill the time with anyway, aren't we? What happened to all the time we saved not having to churn our own butter? That butter churning time just dissolved into extra wanks in a single generation, didn't it? And we'll do it again, I'm sure of it. But my boss has been trying to keep morale up at my work amongst a spate of redundancies. And he kept trying to get us to do a sweep for the horse races, and no one was ever keen. And I felt kind of sorry for him, so I thought, oh, we'll do our own. So I printed out photos of everyone in the office and put us all into a little bowl. We all got to pick someone out. Now we just have to wait and see who gets the next redundancy. Someone's gone home with a hamper. Someone's kids aren't going to Disneyland this year. But we all poured ourselves a glass of yellow and we filed into the boardroom to watch the real race unfold. It's a beautiful day for it. The race that stops a nation. The Crow's Nest Regional Office Redundancy Cup. Janet from Accounts is playing up in the barriers. And what do you know it, Alan, the IT lead, made it to the start after having every Monday off for the last financial quarter. It is a miracle. They're all in. The lights are on. Set. Racing in the Crow's Nest Regional Office Redundancy Cup. Carmel from comms has started strong, closely followed by As Per My Last Email. Do you have five for a quick chat? And Kathleen, what do you even do? They round the first corner and who called the unions coming down the outside, buffeted by Kira Lee, the intern. Mansplain Mark is midfield on the rails just behind Not Before I've Had My Coffee, and that's not in my job description. Coming down the straight is Unsolicited Neck Massage, Unmet KPI, and Some Prick Ate My Sandwich. Just a quick one for you's going steady. Peter from Risk is yelling, but nobody's listening. Half ahead to, for God's sake, Rob, wipe out the microwave. Oh, we've had a fall. It's Kira Lee, the intern. Kira Lee, the intern's broken down at the 650, and Neil says millennials just can't hack it in the workplace after all. Deborah, the gender and diversity lead, is going strong, having a renaissance in relevance after some dodgy comments were made at the Christmas party. Janet from Accounts hasn't wasted energy on a single smile as they head for home, and who called the unions out in front of Monday morning small talk? Carmel from comms, an awkward birthday song. But here comes accidental reply all. Accidental reply all challenged by which prick left tuna in the lunchroom. 3:50 to go in the Crow's Nest Regional Office Redundancy Cup, and it's all who called the union. Who called the union? Half ahead to Carmel from comms. Kathleen, what do you even do? And get fucked at Smoko. But who's this coming down the outside? It's the favourite. Reg from operations is flying down the outside. He's not going anywhere. He plays tennis with the chairman. He's utterly useless and he's here to stay. It's Reg taking out the Crow's Nest Regional Office Redundancy Cup. Half ahead to We Can't Fire the CEO in a photo for third between should have stayed in uni and I'm useless, but the director is my uncle.
Hey. Yeah. Very good.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much. I lost my job, but I did win a hamper. Thanks.
You can't see Beck Melrose at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Tickets are not on sale now.
Irrational Fear.
Well, we are going to be back weekly with Irrational Fear since our Melbourne Comedy Festival show isn't going. So please hit us up on Patreon, give us a few bucks a month. Also, FBI Radio, where we normally record this, needs your help. So please go to fbiradio.com/donate and give them a few bucks, particularly if you live in Sydney and you love independent radio and great music. Special thanks for this episode to Rupert Dagas, Jacob Brown, FBI Radio, Darren Saunders, Lewis Hobber, Rose Piper, Dylan Bain, and the wonderful Beck Melrose.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. We'll leave you with the latest news fighters on the coronavirus. Dylan, do you want to introduce it?
Sorry. Coronavirus? I actually did it on the NBA March Madness. No. What's coronavirus? I haven't touched any news the last 2 weeks. But what's coronavirus?
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
One of the great things about the current age of having internet and social media is being able to watch your favorite celebrities break down over the coronavirus pandemic in real time. Some are handling it better than others. Here's rapper Cardi B, who had her tour cancelled.
Guess what, bitch? Coronavirus! Coronavirus! I'm telling you, shit is real! Shit is getting real!
Is this coronavirus shit gonna be like a couple of weeks type of shit? Or it's gonna be a couple of months type of shit? Let me know so I can start motherfucking racking up on foods and Moncliers so a bitch can move to motherfucking Antarctica, bitch.
Once again, Cardi B, the voice of reason in an age of confusion. Meanwhile, Arnold Schwarzenegger is living his best life hanging out at home with Danny DeVito. Oh, no, wait, sorry, that's a miniature horse.
Lula loves carrots. Whiskey loves carrots. I just had my little bit of vegan food. Oh, that was yummy, huh?
I just had a fantastic workout at the house, in my home gym.
Here I am at home, taking a jacuzzi, smoking a little stogie. Eh? I just finished a bike ride and a little bit of workout, and I just, keep staying at home.
Yes, do like Arnie, stay at home. But maybe don't smoke a cigar. I think we might need your lungs to be as healthy as possible. Meanwhile, Michael Stipe from REM isn't coping too well.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Stop trying to help, Michael Stipe, and don't you dare pivot to that shiny, happy people bullshit either. We need you to stay calm in this time of crisis. Now, a lot of musicians are getting in on holding online quarantine concerts, including Chris Martin of Coldplay, whose music is like coronavirus for your ears.
They were all yellow.
Look, I'm not trying to say that keyboard sounded bad, but geez, I think the audio was better on Keyboard Cat. And just when things couldn't look any worse, Willie Nelson's son Lucas hits us about the ears with the biggest cliche he could reach for.
The minor drop and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
Now look, if any government out there is listening, Scott Morrison, Trump, Boris, Angela Merkel, the UN, the WHO, I don't care, please institute an immediate indefinite ban on performances of Hallelujah. This is actually a policy I've been pushing for years, long before coronavirus, but this is the time we can make it happen. Meanwhile, all Aussies returning home from overseas are going to be facing 2 weeks of self-isolation, and most of them seem to be handling it pretty well.
Yeah, just going to lock myself in and just punch some cones for a couple of days.
How are you going to spend the next 2 weeks, I guess?
Thanks, mate.
You know?
No worries.
We can't disclose all of it.
Okay, that's Newsfighters on Irrational Fear. To listen to the full episode, subscribe to Newsfighters on your podcasting app or check us out at newsfighters.com. I'm Dylan Bain. Keep washing your hands and bye for now.
This is Newsfighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.